First of all, let me thank you, Jim, for inviting me to come and share some thoughts with you. And of course, it's great to be here. I want to thank the BC workers for giving me sanctuary for the number of days. As you know, George Bush is visiting Ottawa, so I had to leave and figure to be someplace else. It's quite amazing that the President of the United States come to visit our country for a couple of days, and of course, there's been a lot of demonstration, rightfully so. In the same context of all of this, Canadians understood the values of our country. When they're asked to vote in the CBC, who's the greatest Canadian, who did they vote for? Tommy Douglas. So I think we're in good spirits in this country. Canadians do understand who great Canadians are and stand up and fight for them. And it's just absolutely amazing, despite our history and the death of Tommy Douglas for such a long time, Canadians do remember the important role he's played in visiting our country. Sisters and brothers, I want to start by congratulating all the officers that have been elected or re-elected to your executive. And I especially want to congratulate Jim and Angie for their re-election. I know the sister and brother, you have a strong voice and a champion for working people in this province. And by God, they're committed fighters that are going to fight the great fight to restore working people's agenda in this province come the new year. I can't think of a greater moment to have a national convention like you're here and having right now in BC. On the cusp of the next provincial election. This is an incredible opportunity, I think, for all of you as activists and as leadership to focus on the many challenges you faced coming forth in the future. And it's a reminder to all of us that, of course, what you have had to endure in a number of years with this right-wing government, the gains the workers have had to see rolled back by this government, and the absolute attack to working people's values in this province. I know this government, if they should get another opportunity, they will destroy the things they were not able to destroy in this parliament during this period. Their attack on the public sector will not yield. They will continue that attack until such point they're able to destroy it fundamentally. It will take us decades and decades to restore. Their attack on healthcare will continue. And of course, the most important attack is to destroy our movement and the Wigner movement. As you know, that will not cease. This government will continue in that strength. Brothers and sisters, the determination of this movement in this province to resist and to fight has been absolutely stellar. And I want to congratulate you on the fight you wage today. There are many greater battles ahead, but I really want to congratulate on behalf of workers right across this country for the struggle you have waged today. Yes, there's going to be many, many tests to this movement in terms of its unity and its solidarity. And I know, like all great leaders and activists, you'll recognize fundamentally, enemy in this movement is not in this room. It's in Victoria, the Canada government. This is an opportunity, I believe, for all of us. And it's a difficult one, but it's an important one. And we must recommit. Come next May, these bastards are going to be out of office one way or the other. It's going to take focus, it's going to take discipline, and most of all, it's going to take hard work. And if you're not up to the challenge, sisters and brothers, there's still enough time to leave the convention and go back home. If you're not up to the challenge, there's still enough time to go on a vacation. But believe me, sisters and brother, you've got the most incredible opportunity at this convention, and as activists, recognizing that we have a government in this province not only set the stage for the attack on workers in this province, but also are giving credence to other governments who want to take on the labor movement. If we're going to win this fight, and it's been said here many times in this convention, we're going to win it workplace by workplace. We're going to win it by talking to worker to worker. We're going to win it by talking to neighbor to neighbor. We're going to win it, sisters and brother, riding by riding. I know this movement is capable of this challenge. And fundamentally, brothers and sisters, for all the pain they've inflicted on us over the number of years they've been in office, it's our time to get even come next May. For every job they have stolen from our movement and the social movement, we will make them pay come next May. For every attack and rollback on our collective agreement, come next May, we will make them pay. Brothers and sisters, we have got the greatest movement in this province, in this country, and throughout this universe, the labor movement. We have strength, but we must have unity and solidarity. And if we're going to win this fight, brothers and sisters, it's been said by your president and your secretary treasury and many officers in this convention over and over. Yes, we can win it, and we must win it, but it's going to take discipline. I want to say to you on behalf of all the affiliates of the Congress and the officers, we will do whatever is necessary to assist you in this struggle. And you should prove something once and for all, that yes, you can get rid of a right-wing government in the first term. You did it in Surrey recently in the by-election. By God, you can do it come next May. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's hard work. It is difficult work, but it's work we must do to preserve our movement. This work that we must do to give our values some meaning in this province. This is a great place for working people and their families, but the pain you have had to endure by this government is simply unacceptable. To cut payments for people who can't afford or on welfare, to attack the poor, to cut money from shelters, and to treat the weak in our society the way this government has done is simply unacceptable. I know, sisters and brothers, you're up to the task, and I will be there to assist and work with your leadership to ensure we get the job done come next May. So let me focus on some of the issues we are struggling with at the Congress right now. For the first time in our history in the last 25 years, we have a national parliament that's in a minority situation. We run the most incredible campaign in the last election, a labor issues campaign. Picked some very specific issues that we wanted to talk to working people about and to motivate them to go out and vote. Yes, we didn't make the kind of gains we were hoping to in our party, but that work is not yet finished. But what we did say, that healthcare is a priority in this country and we're going to fight to defend it from coast to coast. Paul Martin and his government in the past have cut and cut healthcare to the bones. We have got the money to restore funding to healthcare. It's about time we put it back. Yes, we saw some improvements to healthcare in terms of funding. But one of the things we have not completed yet is the privatization of healthcare across this country. And that fight must continue to be waged right across this land until such time every politician understands there's nothing to be gained by privatizing healthcare services. All you do is increase the cost and make it more difficult for working people and families in this country. Sisters and brothers, we will get that job done, but we will not get it if we sit idly by. This is a chance for us to demand and hold our federal government accountable. With this minority government, we have a chance to deliver on some very important issues. We said you in our campaign in the Congress, yes, the jobs are important to working families. We're losing too many jobs in our country. We said, how is it that you can retire and your pensions are not protected? We said it's about time we have a national child care program. We also said we want to see some fairness restored to the EI system in this country. So let me begin in trying to highlight some of the issues we've been working on and many of you have participated in. We've been promised now for over a decade we're going to have a national child care program. Every time to see that promise is not kept by a government who has never intended or committed to ensure that we have a national child care program. Finally, we have an opportunity in our country. We have got the money. What we need is a resolve as working people to keep the pressure on politicians to say, you must deliver. Ralph Goodale recently announced that we've got $8 billion surplus in the national treasury. Well, by God, I can tell you what you can do with that $8 billion. Working families, and especially women, has been the brunt of poverty in this country because we don't have a national child care program. We want a universal national child care program. that is not for profit, that must not have any barriers, and most importantly, must be adequately funded by the federal government. Sisters and brothers, there has never been a greater moment for us to achieve this objective on behalf of working families. And if we're able to achieve it, which I think we will, it'll be the first new national program, social program we have created in this federal system in the last two decades or more. We can do this, you can do it, we're going to do this together. There'll be a lot of debates in this country as Ralph Goodale brings forward the next budget. But I know one thing as working people, we understand. We understand when you have money, you can do things in your life. This federal government has got the money that is necessary to create a national child care program. And what we need to do ultimately, sisters and brothers, we've got to keep the politicians' feet to the fire. We've got to make them accountable to us, the people who elected them. We've got to ensure that the agenda they pursue in our national parliament is an agenda on behalf of working people. The next issue I want to talk to you about is called EI, Employment Insurance. Never heard anything so goddamn ridiculous in my life. I know one thing. I don't need employment insurance when I have a job. What I need is unemployment insurance when I don't have a goddamn job. And for the first time in our history, we're going to tell them what the issues are. Our unemployment insurance fund today has a $47 billion surplus. $47 billion. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, ask yourself this fundamental question. Where the hell do you think they got that money from? They got it from the backs of working people in this country. And for too long, we've taken their shit no more. We've got to tell them, this is our money, it belongs to us, we want it back. In the last 2 years, just in the last 2 years, over $1 billion of interest has been earned on this money. The surplus has been built on the cuts on the backs of working people. Cuts that are up to $10 billion since 1993. Of the millions of workers who lost insurance protection, 60% had income of less than $15,000 a year. This has resulted in over $4,832 been lost by working people because they couldn't get benefits. The average EI coverage in Canada used to be 74% in the 1990s. Today is less than 38%. Because you can qualify for benefits. In your own provinces, to give you a dose of reality, in BC, the current EI coverage is just only 32%. How is this possible when we have so much resources? Working people get laid off, or their workplace closes and they can't get benefits. How is it that politicians can take our money and tell us to go screw ourselves? Sorry, too bad, there's no benefits available. Sisters and brother, what's been happening to our unemployment insurance program in this country has been a national disgrace. It's the biggest scandal in the history. Forget the goddamn act scam in Quebec. The biggest scam in this country is the theft of workers' money from their pockets for the last decade or more. We have an opportunity, I believe, sisters and brothers, and I say this sincerely. When you have a job, the furthest thing from your mind is whether or not you're going to qualify for EI benefits. But I want to tell you fundamentally that those of us who have jobs, who are in union, who must wage this fight. This fund was created to help us. It is for us. And for too long, we have allowed them to get away, which is unacceptable behavior. Taking in our money and give it to the wretch and the wealthy for tax cuts who don't deserve it. And most importantly, deny ordinary people an opportunity to get their lives back together. I believe for the first time in the history of this country, in the last 25 years, we've got an opportunity to say, we want our EI fund to be a trust fund, and we want you to reduce the hours for people to qualify, and most importantly, we want to have a national training program in this country so workers who are unemployed can get training and get back to work. I am not dreaming, brothers. I'm not on drugs this morning, certainly not yet anyway. I'm in my song mind. As I travel this country, and you speak to working people in communities after communities, and you hear the pain and the suffering they go through, the question I ask myself, how is it the country that's so rich as ours, that has so much resources and wealth, can't seem to take care of working people? We've allowed this to happen for too long, and I believe we're going to turn the table around. And you're going to join me in that struggle. One of the other issues I want to talk to you about is retirement security. I know for many of us, we work our entire lives hoping that when we get old, we can retire with dignity, with a decent pension, so we can live a decent life. But most Canadians are asking a very fundamental question, is my retirement benefit really protected? And we're finding out to a large extent it isn't really protected. Your company goes bankrupt, you lose your jobs, you realize your employer is underfunding your pension plan, and all of a sudden you realize, your pension benefit is not there. You lose your jobs, your workplace goes bankrupt, and you say, am I going to get the money they owe me in my last wages? No, there isn't. It isn't coming from anywhere. Your severance pay is not available. Your vacation pay is not available. And if you should be lucky enough to get in the lineup, in the bankruptcy protection in this country, you'll realize fundamentally one thing. You're not even on the list of people who will be up front. This is simply unacceptable. We spend our entire lives working to make a betterment for ourselves and our families. When we get old, we shouldn't have to worry about our pension plan. And I think for the first time, we have an opportunity to do something very unique, and especially in this country, if we get our shit together. Very simple as that. No Canadian should have to worry when they lose their job, whether or not they're going to get their unpaid wages paid. We should have a national wage protection fund in this country to pay those benefits. A national wage protection fund that will pay your severance pay and your vacation pay. And when there's a bankruptcy in this country, it's not the banks who should be at the head of the line, it's workers! The bank understand when they lend money, their risk involved. We don't go to work taking risk. We go to work expecting at the end of the day we will get our paychecks. But yet the system has never been built on our interests. And I believe we have an opportunity to say to this federal government, we want a national wage protection fund. We want to ensure there is a special protection for pensions in this country so workers no longer have to worry, like the Air Canada workers recently did. They weren't sure whether their pensions were going to be there. They weren't sure what was going to happen to them should that company go bankrupt. My sisters and brother right now in Stelco are going through a bankruptcy protection. The Bankruptcy Act says the judge can override a collective agreement. We want the Bankruptcy Act to change that no judges have the right to override collective agreements. We want a pension benefit guarantee corporation created at a national level. So we no longer have to go to bed at night stressed out and worried or not whether our pension is going to be provided for. Somebody has to make that guarantee, and I believe it's naturally the federal government stand, get up to the table and do what is necessary. Brothers and sisters, I know we can achieve this. Jack talked about this morning. Pat Martins will have a private member's bill in our national parliament up next week for debate. And I'm going to do everything we can, and the officer of the Congress is going to do everything we can to ensure that when Pat Martin's bill finally gets debated before a committee, all of these suggestions and recommendations I'm making to you will be part of that legislation. And most importantly, with the work that you do at a local community level with your members, the Parliament's going to ensure that we win this fight, because this is the best chance we have got to put this in practice. Let me focus one of the last issues, sisters and brothers, and that is the question of job creation. Yes, there may be a lot of talk about how good the economy is going, but if you ask many members of our community in this province, they'll tell you, what are you talking about? Since November of 2002, we have lost 85,000 manufacturing jobs in this country. And consistently, the answer we get from governments, we can't do anything about that. We'll let the market take care of it. Well, for over two decades, we've watched the market taking place of all our problems. We have no new national industrial policy. We have no vision. How are we going to create jobs and protect jobs and grow jobs in this country? It's simply left to the marketplace. Earlier this year, we had a national conference in Ottawa where we tried to debate and argue about what we need in this country to create truly the jobs that we want to create and build this great country of ours. Good job, full-time job, that pay union wages, that you can raise a family on. What we need is a federal government that's going to provide a strategy rather than sitting on the goddamn sidelines and say, there's nothing we can do. We'll let the market take care of this problem. We want the federal government to say, we're going to do what is necessary to protect Canadian interests. To hell with the WTO if it's necessary. We want a federal government that says, yes, we'll protect Canadian jobs if we have to rip up NAFTA if it's necessary. Because this is about our community, and this is about ourselves and our families. And if all the federal government or provincial government can offer us, we can't do anything. That's not our problem. Brothers and sisters, we don't elect government to do that. We elect government to act in our interests. I believe we've got the capacity to debate and to force the issue that we truly need a national industrial policy for this country so we can create good union jobs, jobs you can raise a family on, jobs that pays a decent wages, rather than continue to generate jobs that simply pays minimum wage, if at all they pay anything. I know we can do this, sisters and brothers. I know we have the opportunity to do this. This is a great moment in our country. For the first time in a long time, nobody knows what's likely to happen in Parliament because of the nature of the Federation and the nature of the last election. But I think we can exploit it to its fullest extent. But that means we have to be politically active. We have to get involved. This is not going to happen simply because Hassan Youssef or Ken or Barb or Marie says this should happen. It's going to happen when the 3 million members of our family from coast to coast go and see their members in Parliament and say, excuse me, what the hell are you doing with a national child care program? This is not something we're accustomed to do, sisters and brother. And this is going to be new work. I want to thank all the labor councils and the Federation of Labor and the affiliates who've already gone out as part of our lobbying effort to meet their members of Parliament. Every parliamentarian in this province that sits in the House of Commons needs to be told what our agenda is, and you need to tell them that. Not me, you. Brothers and sisters, there's never been the greatest opportunity for us to make gains for working people. If you watch our federal parliament for the last two decades, the first question you have to ask yourself, where is the workers' agenda? Other than our party, who's been making the argument? We have seen missed opportunities, lies and betrayal for over decades and decades and decades. When we had the last minority government, some of the greatest thing in our country happened. We have that opportunity again, sisters and brothers. And I know with your commitment and your support, we can make this happen. We can truly say, yes, after decades and decades of trying to destroy a national program, we are going to create the first new national program, a national child care program, one that would endure this country for years, will make our country and the children better for the future. I know we can restore the cuts to the unemployment insurance program to give working families, and especially working women, a chance to get what is rightfully theirs. It's not unreasonable to say it takes 360 hours to qualify for benefits. We can achieve this. I know we can make this government accountable to retirement security. We can amend the CCWA to ensure that workers are protected in bankruptcies. We're no longer the end of the line, but at the first of the line. I know we can bring in a wage protection fund at the national level. We've got the money to do it. And I know we can create a national job strategy that can grow good paying jobs, that can maintain the public sector and the private sector and maintain the social programs. But I know that's not going to happen simply because I get up at a microphone and I make these arguments. It's only going to happen, sisters and brothers, when we stick together, when we maintain the discipline and unity and solidarity among our movement. All of you have known the value of our unity and solidarity. When we stick together, we win. They can never win, because as working people, we are the majority in this society. We've got to convince our brothers and sisters, our neighbors and our friends, that we ought to act in our self-interest. This is the greatest moment, I believe, for us to do some great things in our national parliament, to restore confidence that the democracy is truly ours. It's not about the wealthy and the powerful who can lobby our national parliament. It is about working people. It's about their agenda. Brothers and sisters, we embark on this program. We've had the discipline at the national level to say we can't have 50 issues going at the same time. There are many other issues we'll be working on. We're not discarding those issues. We'll keep working on them. But these four issues are top priority right now. If we can get this national parliament to move forward and implement these four issues that I'm talking about, by God, working people have won a tremendous victory, a great victory. Because all of those who've been insecure because their pensions were not protected and are worried about what happened in bankruptcy, we can ensure for generations we will forever fix this problem. If we can stop the theft of our unemployment insurance money and put it back in workers' pockets, we have done a great service to working people. If we can truly create a national child care program, not only would it be good for women, but it would be good for the future generation who will take care of people like myself and you in this audience. Brothers and sisters, we can do this. I know we can do this. I want to conclude and sincerely thank all of you. If you haven't gone to see your members of parliament, I will suggest to you in a very respectful way, get off your ass and do it soon. It's not a difficult thing, my friends. It is not a difficult thing. If you don't know what the address is, I'll kindly give it to you. If you have never done it before, maybe we'll have somebody hold your hand and take you down together. Well, what will be even greater if a group of us does it? Yes, there's a lot of Tories in this province, and most of them don't give a shit about our agenda. I'm not confused about that. You better tell them one thing. Come next election, you're going to vote, and you're going to hold them accountable. Because you know, my friends, when the national child care strategy comes up, I want to know where you stand. When the debate comes up in the parliament about Pat Martin's bill on amending the Bankruptcy Protection Act, I want to know where you're at. It has to be personal, and it has to be in their face. There's no other way of doing this. So let me conclude, sisters and brothers. I know you have a great struggle in this province to regain control of the legislative agenda. And I know, come next May, you can make this happen. We have done this before. Jim said to me before, tell them, you can make this right-wing bastard in the province only have one term. And it's going to happen, not because we simply come here and debate ourselves and leave and says, oh, that's somebody else going to do the job. I'm sorry, sisters and brothers, nobody else. Look behind you. You are it. You are going to lead this movement. And what these guys got to understand, that we have paid the price the last number of the years. They have inflicted the pain. It's our time come May. And we will inflict the pain on these bastards never seen, because until you can teach them that lesson, they understand nothing else. This is our country. This is our province. This is our democracy. We're going to take control back. Thank you very much.